Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. We've been talking about some of the athletes from Ukraine, and I was wondering the other day, I don't know if I had a chance to ask you on the air, Joe, about Ukrainians and the Olympics. Are you able to watch the coverage there?
Yeah, for sure. It's easy to watch it, and I've been able to catch a little bit of the Olympics, just, you know, via YouTube clips here and there. It's been pretty busy. I think for people are talking about it here a good deal, and it's inspiring, not just, of course, the Ukrainian stories there, but, you know, in general, all the great stories of human excellence. And that's such a theme of what we see here every day in Ukraine, people doing extraordinary things. And so I think the idea of the Olympics is something that's felt very deeply here. And, of course, you know, that ancient idea of the Olympics said people would stop fighting wars during the time of the Olympics. Obviously, that's not the case, but but it is it's an inspiring thing. And I, you know, every day, pretty much every day here, you know, I just hear the most incredible, inspiring stories. And I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I was talking with this famous British photographer, Giles Dooley, who lost two legs and an arm in Afghanistan when he was embedded with American troops. And he's here to help, you know, those who've suffered in similar ways. And he was telling me the story of a Ukrainian who goes by the call sign Samurai. And he was one of the top D miners in Ukraine. He was really the best expert at getting rid of landmines, which is something that's very much needed. But, you know, when you're doing that every day, you know, the odds are kind of against you in a way. And so Samurai stepped on a butterfly mine. There's in the shape of a butterfly and hard to see. And it disfigured his face, and he went blind. And now he spends his days meeting with those who have been recently blinded. He gets them as quickly as he can, mainly to tell them it's going to be okay, to say, hey, I've already gone through this. You know, I've learned to adapt to being blind, and I'm here to help you. And so examples of, you know, people that even after getting blown up by landmines, you know, still find ways to keep going. And I think it's by helping others that they can find this endurance. And so often we've used the adjective or the noun resilience to describe Ukrainians. And when I was speaking with people about this today, including Giles Dooley, the idea is that resilience, you know, what is it? Is it something you can cultivate, something you can seek out? You know, you read a book and then you become resilient. What is it? And the emerging idea was that resilience is something that only comes through suffering. So you have to go through suffering and face it. And then resilience arrives as some kind of gift through that suffering. That's sort of the working definition I've heard here. And I think it seems to make a lot of sense that this is it's simply by, okay, no matter what happens, just as the Olympians do, you look at, think of Olympians who have fallen down, whether it's gymnastics or high jump. You know, you fall down and you get back up again, and that's where, if you keep doing that, one day you'll become a resilient person.
One of our listeners emailed a picture. It's a freeze frame from a movie, and James writes, saw this term, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Holodomor, in the movie Bitter Harvest from 2016. Never heard of it. Describes the Russian genocide done to the Ukrainians, and what this says in the picture from the film, the genocidal famine created by the Soviets in 1932 and 33 is known today as the Holodomor, death by starvation. Are you familiar with that term?
Indeed, and it's weird. It sounds very similar to the name of the Irish famine on Gotha Moor, but both it was this time in the 1930s when Stalin, in trying to control the people who he could not easily control, and Ukrainians were well, you know, that was the population that really believed in freedom, but also because the incredible resources, especially the grain of Ukraine, was shipped away from Ukraine to Moscow, to Russia. And so people here couldn't eat. and very similar to the Irish potato famine in that way. And millions were killed. It was a genocide. And there's a movie that I just watched, another movie about on this topic called Mr. Jones. It's a British film. And it's a true story of a Welsh reporter who went to Moscow, and he felt that something wasn't right. And he began to investigate. He snuck into Ukraine. It was illegal for foreign press to go to Ukraine in the 1930s. And he snuck in and he saw the reality of the famine. But a popular New York Times writer, Walter Duranty, who had been based in Moscow in the 30s, he was writing glowing stories praising Stalin. In fact, he won the Pulitzer Prize for his work in which he praised Stalin. And he was denying that there was a famine. And this reporter, Gareth Jones, he bravely came to Ukraine and saw the reality. And he was killed 2 years later in mysterious circumstances. I think it was in Mongolia. But I highly recommend that film, Mr. Jones. And to this day, no one has retracted the Pulitzer Prize of Walter Duranty and his pro-Stalin reporting. So very timely thing to watch as we consider, you know, how people report on things today. And I must mention today what's happening in the Kursk region of Russia. This is a region just north of Ukraine's Sumy region. And, you know, from Kursk, Russians have been attacking the city and the region of Sumy pretty much every day. We don't talk about it because it just happens every day. And it's been very brutal for the people of Sumy. Well, in the past maybe 15, 16 hours, Ukrainians have made an incursion into the Kursk region. This is notable because it's being talked about on pro-Russian Telegram channels within Russia. And Moscow itself, the Kremlin has confirmed. Putin even had a small press conference, well, not a press conference, but made a statement that Ukrainian tanks and armored combat vehicles have gone, it seems, 6 miles into Russia. People are evacuating there in Russia. And there are rumors, and we don't know if this comes from the Russians, that there might even be some American equipment there. So this is a big thing to watch because the U.S. still probably hasn't given permission for this. But Ukrainians would not use American equipment without that permission. So maybe something has changed. But meanwhile, we do have some video evidence that Ukrainians have used these very cheap FPV drones, less than $1,000, to take out at least one Russian helicopter, which is worth something like $16 million. And so almost all eyes are watching what's happening there in the Kursk region. Putin is, of course, you know, saying, Ukrainians are indiscriminately attacking civilians. We don't have the evidence of that, but of course, ignoring the fact that it's from this region that so many people in the city of Sumy have suffered for 2.5 years. And so this is all eyes are on this situation now. And Ukrainians are saying that that Russia, I was talking with some officials in the government and saying, what would you hope to gain from this? That Russia was naive to think that war would not touch them. And that Kursk is just the beginning.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, when you were in South Bend at Notre Dame, you must have been number one in your world history class.
There's lots of smart people there.
Well, thanks for the history lesson and the update from Ukraine this morning. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thanks, Bob.